The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome to Pointing You Home. Hey, this is your number one local real estate news resource. Been on the air since 2004, all the way through the Great Recession, back out the other end, and where we are today. Wow. Prices are up in many areas, right here in the D.C. metropolitan area, to all-time highs. In other areas, they're not quite where they need to be. Two-thirds of us are above water. Third are still below. And the majority of these are in the outlying areas, or those who bought homes that were $1.5 million and above in dollars back in 2005, 2004, 2006, 2007. Hey, stick around at 8:30 for Senior Solutions, where we discuss the 10 things seniors wish their caregivers knew. Now, let's continue with Pointing You Home. Who's living under your roof? You ever wonder why a multi-generational household can strengthen your family finances and bonds, and whether that's the right move for you? So, you know, fracturing your ankle in a couple of places, not being able to drive for at least a month, finding it difficult to get around the house. You might have a spouse who works. You might have a couple kids who need to get around. But if you've got someone living with you, maybe a mother or a father, aunt or uncle who lives with you, all of a sudden you have another hand to help you in a trial, right? And the same way, your uncle or aunt may need you in a trial. So sharing housing has become very important in this generation. In fact, it has become a very popular trend as more and more homeowners are sharing the purchase of real estate and going into tenants in common versus tenants by the entirety. What is that? What's the difference? Well, if you have a family, husband and wife, let's just say, and you've got kids and you've got mom or dad living with you, you typically are going to own the property in just mom and dad's name. And then maybe grandma and grandpa live there with you. But if you decide to move together, perhaps to move to a larger home, perhaps you decide that you will retain half of the ownership and grandma and grandpa will retain half of the ownership, then you may decide that you're going to purchase the property as tenants by the entirety, which literally means that upon the death by either set of buyers, the other set will receive 100% ownership of the property. In this case, if the mom and dad both passed before grandma and grandpa would receive 100% ownership of the property or vice versa. And there's not a tax consequence in that moment that it happens. Not necessarily. Of course, you want to check with your tax advisor to know whether there would be for you, but generally there would not be.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Say you're 30 years old and you decide that you want to buy a house, but it turns out, as I was chatting with a client of mine about the market in San Francisco, actually, this is a friend of mine I graduated from high school with that I enjoyed having an appetizer with the other evening, and Al, he went to MIT, was hired out of MIT, ended up in the Bay Area in Palo Alto, and worked for Google and worked for other companies, a startup and so on. And now, you know, he's just been very successful because of the track of technology that he walked his life through with, he and his wife both. So Al was telling me that it's $3,000 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. Now, just to give you some understanding of that, a $3,000 monthly mortgage payment would pay to purchase in our area a $425,000 home, all in. Taxes, insurance, the mortgage payment on a 30-year. So just renting for a single person. Now, if you're paying $3,000 a month, you multiply that times 12 months in the year, that's $36,000 out of your pocket in rent, and it's not tax deductible. So in order to pay that $36,000, you're going to have to make probably $50,000 to pay the $36,000. Maybe even more than that, depending upon the taxes, like in California, the piggyback tax. It's such an expensive place to live. So you probably have to make closer to $55,000 to $60,000 to pay $36,000 without a tax deduction. Whereas owning real estate, where you own the piece of real estate and you're paying a mortgage payment, you get to write off the interest on the loan, depending upon when you bought the home, by up to $1 million to $1.1 million if you had a home equity line of credit, or if you purchased since last December, up to $750,000. So you may choose to take the option of buying real estate versus renting, especially when you've got that difference. Think about it. If you're paying $3,000 a month, $3,000 a month is mostly interest, then you are paying $36,000 a year to live in that property, but the tax burden is only on that portion of principal and insurance, not on the property taxes, except for what's above $10,000. So everything below that is tax deductible. And on your principal residence, all the interest is. So where the renter would have to make, in our example, would have to make $55,000 to pay $36,000, the homeowner might have to make $41,000 or $42,000, $43,000, maybe. Big difference. So you might say, gosh, I sure don't want to have to pay all that tax, but I don't have that much money to afford where I want to live. Why don't I set up an agreement with two other buyers to buy a property where we will all be tenants in common, meaning that you each own a portion of the real estate. Now, this is sticky. I mean, this can be delicate, especially if at some point down the road that you cannot foresee at the moment, when you guys are the best of friends, there's a breakdown in the relationship. One wants to sell and the others don't. What do you do then? Very important, if you enter into a tenants in common arrangement, that the rules are laid out for if this, then that will happen. If one person decides they don't want to live there anymore, all parties agree to sell the property. Something like that. Or first right of refusal for the existing owners to buy the property from the third party that wants to be out. You follow? Or even setting up a trustee who would be in charge of the property and the decision-making about selling or not. There's a variety of different ways to address that. But this way, if you're young and cannot afford to buy, even in Southwest DC, buying a row house that's two levels, no basement, for $650,000. Let's do the math. $650,000 buy. Let's say, you know, you and a buddy of yours would like to go in and buy that, essentially sharing half of that. That's $325,000 in purchase each, 10% down each. So you've got to come up with $32,500. Your buddy's got to come up with $32,500 plus the closing costs, which are probably another maybe $10,000 each. So $42,500 each coming in to buy this $650,000 row house that's two bedrooms and maybe one bath in Southwest DC. Can you believe? Now, this might be hard for you to hear this and go, he's not talking Southwest. There's no way that places are selling two bedrooms, one bath for $650,000. I'm telling you, they are. What with Audi Field that just opened up, where DC United, our hailed and renowned soccer team, DC United, with Rooney and Acosta and Areola and all the great players that we have there. By the way, if you can get down to a game, it's only $25 a ticket. For the general seating, it is worth taking your date. Go down. The food's good. Take the time. Go down there and visit Audi Field. You've got National Stadium, which has gone quiet. Of course, the Nationals did not make the playoffs, unfortunately. But still, there's lots to do. And Nats Park is constantly busy with one event or another. And there's lots of new restaurants at the waterfront. Okay, I got sidelined. A buy of $650,000. Couple people coming together. They put down $325,000. They put down 10% of $325,000 or $32,500 each. They're both responsible for 10 each. So you've got to have $42,500 saved each. You buy the property. You're putting down 10% on $650,000. You're borrowing $585,000, which is $650,000 minus 10%. And now you're going to finance it. And you're going to finance it at, let's say, 4 5/8 to 4 3/4% interest, which is our current interest rate. That's going to cost approximately $4.80 for every $1,000 that you borrow. Just for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to round some numbers. I'll round that up to $5 per $1,000 borrowed. And I'll take that $585,000 and I'll round that up to $600,000 borrowed. And essentially, you've got just under $600,000 a month on a 30-year fixed rate just for the principal and the interest payment. We add the taxes to that and the insurance to that, and we're probably at about $4,000. So two people buying a house together now have a property that they own together. They share in the equity together, but it's separated. So if they sell the property, one gets theirs, the other gets theirs. And if one were to pass whoever the heirs of the one side would get the equity out of one half of the property. It protects the interest of the two parties, but allows them to buy together. Now, what's nice, $2,000 a month mortgage payment, and you own something. And if you could squeeze a third bedroom out of that, you could rent a bedroom down there for maybe a third to a half of what the total mortgage payment is, because that's what people are paying down there. Don't limit yourself into thinking that you have to buy real estate by yourself is what I'm saying, but make sure the rules are clear between all parties. And when you're thinking about multi-generational living, you get benefits potentially by buying together, and you can pass on inheritance, mom and dad, by buying real estate with your kids in the entirety, so that you buy together and you own together. But if you were to pass, they receive the benefit of that. Check with your accountant, but there's oftentimes a non-taxable event at that time. It becomes taxable later potentially, but check on it. Hey, if you own a vacation rental property and you want to keep it booked all the way through the fall, I've got a property that I try to rent out fairly consistently. So I found some interest here. The Post had an article about several tactics to take when you're trying to rent your property in order to keep it rented. I want to share those with you in just a moment. Before I go, though, into our break, I want to remind you, we have our Aging in Your Best Place class in just a week and a half from now. And we follow that with Selling Your Home for Top Dollar. Both classes are free, one in Rockville, one in Fairfax. Go to ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com to register. Or for more information, give my staff a call and they'll walk you through registration at 800-900-9104. We still have a few spaces available. Love to see you there. I'll be right back with more.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome back to Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart. I'm your host here. This is my 14th year on the air here at WMAL. My privilege to be here with you. I'll mention three properties we just put on the market, all three in Maryland. We just sold a string of homes in Virginia and preparing more to come for sale soon. 10421 Snow Point Drive in Bethesda, Walter Johnson School District, 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath colonial, quiet cul-de-sac, hardwood floors on the main floor with a gourmet kitchen that was recently done just in the last few years, stainless steel appliances, eat-in kitchen, screen and porch. The house is over 4,000 square feet, walkout lower level with a bedroom and a full bath on the lower level. So great multi-generational home or potential rental in the lower level with a wet bar, rec room, gas fireplace, very close to the Grosvenor Metro. And that's $1.2 million priced to sell. 9417 Garden Court, Potomac, Maryland. This is Churchill Schools, 4-bedroom, 3-bath contemporary. You like contemporaries? Lovely price on this, $825,000, just a mile from Potomac Village. First floor master suite, walkout lower level with rec room, fireplace, bedroom, and full bath, and a wooded private lot on a quiet cul-de-sac. And lastly, in Clinton, Maryland, on Dalmatian Drive, we've got 9506. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-full-bath rancher, a great starter house for $269,000. Flat lot, updated kitchen, fresh paint, and very close to major commuter routes in D.C. All of our properties are listed at ericstewartgroup.com. And keep an eye out there in our coming soon section as we are taking listings, preparing them for the market. We have properties that are also listed there that are not quite on the market. You might want to check them out. All right. So back to how to ensure your vacation rental home stays booked all the way through the fall. If you think about providing high-quality photos, I like to say that no photo on a listing is like death in real estate. It's really bad. Have you ever been online and seen a house is listed but there's no photo available? Well, what's with that? We live in a modern era where photos are potentially available and you could take as many photos as you want to. Now, not all MLSs will allow you to post as many as you want to, but on my site, for instance, we put a lot of additional photos in addition to what is in the multiple listing. Great photos tell the story. A good picture is worth thousands of dollars. They will allow travelers to visualize a space to determine whether it would serve their needs when they're coming in to look at booking your home. Don't forget about upcoming events. Keep information there, because as people come and they look at your home, if it's on VRBO or Airbnb or one of the other sites you may be using, maybe you've even created your own site, keep a monthly update of what's happening near where your home is. That will entice people to want to be close to that. Think of it. They're online. They see that there is an Oktoberfest that is just two blocks from your house with three different gatherings with, you know, Lederhosen and whatever else. And wouldn't, you know, maybe somebody loves beer and would think, hey, I'm going to stay there. That's close to what I want to do. Bingo, done. Pay attention to local market and pricing trends. You know, if you own a property that is in a very hot area, and I mean hot by heat, by temperature in the summertime, but is very nice in the wintertime, the trend is low price in the summer, high price in the winter. Okay, Florida is a good example. So don't put high prices on properties at the wrong time. And tweaking it just a little bit to be just under your competition can mean the difference between renting your property and not. And by the way, maintaining professionalism, acting like you're in the hospitality business, you might be a t-shirt and a torn jean kind of person, which I am when I'm relaxed. I just chill out, relax, and so on. But I'm all business on the phone, and I'm all business in person. I don't mind when I'm with my family just being very relaxed. When people are calling you about renting your home, be on the ready. Oh, yes, how can I help you with that? You know, it's speak with a smile when you're talking with prospective renters. That's how I speak to you when I'm communicating. I'm often smiling right behind the microphone here at WMAL. Don't forget about the short-term taxes and regulations. There are many short-term regulations in jurisdictions around the country, and if you avoid that and you don't take care of it, it can come back and bite you later. A company called Avalara will assist you if you're not currently managing your taxes well. Avalara is a service that will help you, and for a fractional cost, will help you collect your taxes and make sure they get paid. Really sweet.
How long will interest rates stay low? That's the question the whole world wants to know.
Mortgage rates. You've seen the rates have continued their upward march. Question is, what impact is that having on the local real estate market? Let me explain to you in very clear terms the difference between last year and this year, not only in the cost of money, but what it's actually done to prices. Fascinating. I did the math on this. Last year, we had 3 5/8% interest rates. We currently are at 4 5/8 to 4 3/4. Let's assume that we went from 3 5/8 to 4 5/8. That's a 1% increase in the interest rate. If you're borrowing $500,000, if you're borrowing $500,000, the cost is $290 more per month this year for the same property. That essentially eats into your affordability by $63,000. So in essence, if prices don't go up, prices stay the same, but rates increase, it's as if the house price went up for something you might be interested in. All of a sudden, a $600,000 home that you would have put $100,000 down on and borrowed $500,000 really is like buying a $663,000 house because you're having to pay more interest over the life of the loan. Now, you can kill that mortgage faster if you like to. I love amortizing, which means to kill. I love amortizing mortgages. It's like putting a savings in your bank account. Now, you can't spend the money out of your equity, but you're killing the debt, okay? Hey, have you tried to pay your property taxes without an escrow? I know I have tried this, and it's, you know, the idea is if you're paying, let's say, $8,000 a year in property tax, most mortgage companies require that you build into your monthly mortgage payment, payment for the mortgage, the principal and the interest, but also the taxes for the property and the insurance required to provide in case of a fire or damage to the property. We call that the PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. But there are some lenders who will say, you can take care of your own escrows, pay your own insurance, pay your own taxes, just pay us the PI. I chose to do that for 10 years. Now, what happens? The goal here would be maybe you could take that $8,000 and stick it in your savings account and earn something on that money rather than paying it in advance for taxes. But how much are you going to earn? Really, not much. I mean, if you're really disciplined and you're nimble even in investing, you might make some kind of a return. But the back end worry that goes into your mind, am I going to have enough when I hit the end of September, the end of July, depending upon when you pay your taxes? In theory, you're trying to reduce your monthly payment by sending that money yourself to your local tax authority, right? It doesn't work that great, okay? You could get into a lot of trouble because let's say one day you walk in to pay your tax bill and you don't have quite enough, or you actually mispay the tax bill because you've mailed in an amount based upon a previous tax bill and you miss it by $3. What gets interesting is that if you don't pay the full amount, all of a sudden you get into trouble and there are penalties on top of what you owe. And they can put your property into jeopardy if you ignore paying your taxes. If you have not paid your property taxes and need help paying your property taxes, it's very, very important you speak with your county authorities as soon as possible to see what options there are. Because especially if you're in a reverse mortgage, you may not have a mortgage payment, principal interest any longer, but you still have to pay your taxes and insurance. I guess I just want to recommend, let the lender hold the taxes and escrow them so that each month you're paying the same amount, taxes, insurance, and your mortgage payment. And once a year, they'll recalibrate according to how the tax bill reformulates, depending upon the mill rate, which is the percentage that they calculate the taxes against your property, or based upon the cost of your insurance, which might go up depending upon insurance rates. So each year you might see a minor fluctuation, but this way you get reliability. You're not worried at the last minute about paying the right amount. Your mortgage lender holds an amount in escrow and pays that bill for you. Okay. So Pointing You Home is the show where we talk about everything local in real estate. We've covered a variety of different topics today. And it's really interesting as we've moved into having our second show, which is Senior Solutions, coming up next. There are new ad campaigns aimed to change the stigma of senior living centers. I'm going to cover that, plus the challenges of being in the sandwich generation, and what is it? That's coming up on Senior Solutions. I'm Eric Stewart. I'll see you in a sec.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.